meeting is now being recorded.
Hello.
Good morning or good evening.
Good morning. Good evening. Yes,
who is this, please?
Dan Djukic.
Good to talk to you.
Hello. Okay.
We will start the meeting in just a minute. If you could put yourself on mute in the short term, and then we will, and then we'll get going. And we are recording, just so you know. We're glad you're here.
Hey, it's Jonathan.
Welcome.
I see the Adobe Connect wasn't set up for microphone use. It threw me off a little bit. So used to doing it that way.
Okay, folks, this is Pamela, and we are ready to get started. And I'm getting feedback. So I was asked to do a roll call. So you can just raise your hand
if you're here.
I'm getting horrible feedback. So perhaps I'm not the person to do this. Hang on. Technical difficulties.
Pamela, can you mute your computer?
Yeah. I thought I had it muted for everyone, but apparently I didn't, so my apologies. And it's still not working, so.
This is Charlotte. For the record, if you aren't speaking, can you please mute your line and mute your computer so that we don't get feedback? Thank you.
So this is Margie. I don't know if we lost Pamela. We might as well get started. Check one more time. Pamela, are you on?
Okay, I'm back. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you
Sorry
now.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me now? Yes, it's a Verizon commercial.
Sure, Pamela. The best way to do the roll call is just to read off from the participants. List who's on, and then ask for anyone else who hasn't been identified to identify themselves. That way it doesn't take so much time.
Sure. Hang on. I don't have my participant list just disappeared, so sorry, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty for the moment. I'm sorry. Charlotte, do you mind going ahead and doing that? I'm sorry, my list has disappeared.
Okay, so on the call, it looks like we have Drew Bagley, Stanley Besson, Jordan Buchanan. Is Jordan on the call? I don't see Jordan.
Sorry, my microphone wasn't connected.
Yeah, this is Jordan. Okay. I'm on the call.
Okay, great. I apologize if I pronounce this incorrectly. Dejan Dujic. Okay. Carlos Rao Gutierrez. Kylie Kahn.
Yes. Thank you. I'm on the call.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Carlos. And I apologize if I pronounce this incorrectly as well. Gail Galway Masweyu. Is he on the call? Does not appear to be on the call. Megan Richards. I don't see Carlton. Wado Siganga is on the call.
Yes.
Looks like apologies from Fabro Stiebel. Don't see him on. David Taylor is on and Jonathan Zuck. And from staff, we have Aliza Gopian, Jamie Headland, Karen Lentz, Margie Milam, I don't see Kara Mulberry yet. Myself, Charlotte Shambly, and Pamela Smith. And with that, I think I'll turn it over to Margie.
Great. Thank you very much, Sharla, and welcome, everyone, to the first review team meeting of the Competition Consumer Choice and Trust Review Team. We have a lot on our agenda, and for today's call, I'll be leading the discussion, but as we move into the leadership discussion and hopefully identify a leader rather soon, then we can hand over the term of the call to the leader if it's identified, he or she is identified today. If not, I'll continue chairing the rest of the call for today. And just as you can see, this is the agenda we've circulated. It's probably a little too aggressive for this call for an hour and a half. We have a lot to cover, but we thought we would at least share with you information about the review team and where we are as from the staff perspective in preparing you all for this effort. And certainly these topics are ones that can be carried on to the next call, should we not be able to cover them all today. Before I move on to the first item, does anyone want to add anything to the agenda topic? Okay. Well, hearing none, we'll go ahead and get started. For those of you that are new to the ICANN processes, as you use the Adobe Connect room, you actually have the ability to raise your hand if you want to be in the queue or to raise a point on the phone. And so that is how we manage the queue, and the little hand is up at the very top of the Adobe Connect room. You can click on that, and that will let us know that you'd like to join the conversation and say something. So with that, I'd like to welcome you all. This has been quite an effort to bring together the review team and to identify the members to handle this particular topic. I thought the best way for us to start would be to go through the list and each of you to introduce yourself, give us a little bit of information about your background and your interest in joining the review team, and that way we all can get a better sense for each of you and your various perspectives. And so with that, we'll just go in alphabetical order on the list. Jordan Buchanan, would you like to say hello and tell the group about your background?
Sure. Happy to speak to that briefly. I know there's a lot of us, so I'll try to be relatively concise. I'm Jordan Buchanan. I have been working and been involved with domain names for a long time, but working actually in the space since I got hired at Register.com. In 1999, shortly after Register.com was selected as one of the first five testbed registrars when competition in the registrar space was introduced. I was hired there as a network engineer at the time, and my background's principally as an infrastructure engineer, so I've done quite a bit of work on setting up and configuring DNS systems prior to that, so I already had some interest in the space, but eventually as Register.com applied for the .pro top-level domain name and helped put together the .info application as a member of Afilias, got pulled into the ICANN space, eventually got involved with the policy development process and was fortunate enough to serve on the original Names Council before the GNSO was created and subsequently on the GNSO Council. Chaired a few working groups along the way, and back in 2006, when I left Register.com and went to Google, I thought I was leaving the domain industry, other than the fact that I was still chairing the WHOIS task force for about my first year at Google. But spent a couple of years after that working just on internal infrastructure at Google before more recently getting pulled back into the space when Google decided to get involved in the domain name industry itself, both as a GTLD registry applicant and more recently as an operational registrar. I run Google's engineering efforts related to both of those businesses, and I'm excited to work with all of you to better understand the implications of recent changes in our ecosystem in terms of competition and consumer trust.
Thank you, Jordan. Now let's move on to Carlos Gutierrez.
Thank you. I'm sitting here in Costa Rica in a beautiful summer morning. We have summer right now here. And I got pretty late into the internet sector when Costa Rica decided to open up its telecom market in 2008. I became chair of the regulatory agency that was created. And one of the first visits I got was from our software industry representatives. They came to us to complain about the price of the CCTLD of Costa Rica. And at the time, it was $100 a year. It is still $100 a year, but that got me interested into the domain name industry and all these differences in pricing and offering. Then 2011, we started with the ICANN meeting in San Jose, or preparing the ICANN meeting in San Jose. I became the GAC representative for Costa Rica for the following years. And when my time finished in the government, I joined a different group of ICANN, and I was nominated by the NOMCOM to the GNSO, where I have been for over a year. 2013, yes, I was also member of the ATRT2 review team, and as an economist, I'm very happy to be in this one, and I hope to see many more numbers and figures and key indicators and work with data instead of just words and regulation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. And do we have Wado Saganga on the call? Wado, if you're on, we're not hearing you. Okay, well, let's move on to David Taylor. We can come back to Wado if he's on. David?
Hi, everyone. Yes, David Taylor, so I'm an Englishman but based in France, so I'm not French. Been here for 18 years and went to my first ICANN meeting back in 2000. I'm an IP lawyer by trade and head up a domain name practice, which we've had going for 16, 17 years now, out of Paris, where we do a lot of global registration work, global enforcement, and then since the new GTLD program has initiated, we've done a lot of work on new GTLDs, applications, as well as objections, responses, et cetera. So quite a wide variety of areas. I used to be on the GNSO for 3 years, a counselor. That was back 2009 to 2012. I think that's probably it. It's enough for me. Keep it short. Look forward to this.
Thank you, David. Jonathan? Jonathan, you're on mute if you're speaking. Jonathan? Okay. We'll come back to you, Jonathan, because we can't hear you right now. Kali Khan.
Hi. You hear me?
Yes, Kali.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear
yeah.
you.
Okay. This is Kali Khan speaking. Yeah, I am in China. And, I had quite a few decades of experience back in telecommunication, competition, and regulation, and also on policy research, especially on introducing competition and consumer protection. That was I've been teaching in Beijing University of Post and Telecommunications for 15 years. I teach economics and also the telecom competition and regulation as a course. So, well, on that side, I consider myself somewhat a little bit experienced, but on the other hand, I'm pretty new to both ICANN and ALAC. I was the last year's selectee of NOMCOM to ALAC. So far, my experience with ICANN is only about 3 months old. The reason I joined the CCTRT is that I consider this new GTLD policy as one of the most important decisions that I can made over the last few years and would have one of the biggest impact on internet and especially in relation to end users, consumers, and so forth. So, well, this is why I want to join CCTRT and also, of course, to make my contribution to the team. On the other hand, well, I see this as also as an opportunity to learn from everybody here. I feel that maybe everybody here is more senior and more experienced than I am with ICANN. So also a chance for me to learn from everybody, each and every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carlton, are you on?
This is Jonathan. Can you hear me now?
Oh, we sure can. Go ahead, Jonathan, and then we'll move to Carlton if he's on.
I'm going to hang up the phone. Yes, it's Jonathan Zook from ACT, the App Association. And I have been a part of this process now since Cartagena, when the board first passed its resolution to incorporate metrics into this review. I had the honor of chairing the work group to establish those metrics and the implementation advisory group, which helped get some things started, including the survey and the economic study. Been involved with ICANN since 2005 in Vancouver, and I'm very excited about this review and having a rigorous analysis process that's evidence-based, and look forward to working with everyone.
Thank you, Jonathan. Megan Richards? Megan, you're muted if you're speaking.
Can you hear me at all? I unmuted, but I don't think you can hear me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you if you could speak louder, but we can hear you faintly.
Did it work? Oh, very good. I'm sorry. I'm in a very large room here. I'm not in my normal office. Well, I'll try to speak very briefly, and I'll put something in the chat. I am a relative newcomer to the gory details of ICANN. I used to follow it from a much further distance point of view, from a more policy-related aspect. And since last year, I've been the European Commission DAC representative. And I bring innocent, open approach to all of this, plus all the background election choice, etc. So I hope that will help. And I like very much what Jonathan said about a rigorous, evidence-based approach, which I'm looking forward to. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Megan. Dejan?
Hi, Dejan Jukic. I'm from Serbia. I'm working in Serbian CCTLD. I'm lawyer in the main name industry since 2008. It's almost, I don't know, 8 years by now. So I was involved in developing our CCTLD policy. I'm interested in also in UDRP process. I was also involved in establishing our commission for domain dispute resolution also. And I'm also interested in
new GTLD process. I attended a few ICANN meetings. My first was Beijing. I'm not sure I can remember. I was also ICANN fellow and on Durban meetings. And I found this review team as a great opportunity to develop my experience and skills and participate more within ICANN community.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Gao, I'm sorry. Gao, I don't even know how to pronounce her name. Maswa, are you on the call? If you're speaking, we can't hear you. Gao? Okay, well, we'll jump to the next one. Drew Bagley? Drew, if you're speaking, we can't hear you either. Drew? Okay, for some reason we can't hear you. Are you, okay, you're going to try to connect on your phone? Okay, well, we'll go to the next one and then come back to you, Drew. Stanley Besson.
This is Stan Besson. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good. I'm an economist. I've been working in the telecom industry for a long time, particularly focusing on competition issues. I like to say that when I started, there were only three television networks and one telephone company in the U.S., and obviously things have changed. I also do intellectual property, copyright patents, particularly in the area of standard essential patents. I guess my most relevant connection to this activity is that more than a decade ago, I served on a U.S. National Academy committee that reviewed the domain name system. We produced a book, which some of you may have seen, called Signposts in Cyberspace. And we made the then radical suggestion that ICANN could add, I think I remember exactly, tens of new domains per year. Seemed radical at the time. And so I'm very interested in joining this committee to see how it all turned out when you all finally took our recommendations.
Great. Thank you very much. Let's go back to Drew. Drew, by any chance, have you been able to unmute your computer? Looks like we can't hear you. We'll come back to you because I think he said you may try to connect on the phone. Oh, hold on, he's typing. Okay, he's going to try. We'll come back to you, Drew. In the meantime, Robbie's not on the call, so we'll move to Fabro Stiebel. Fabro, are you on the call? If you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Hello, this is Drew Bagley. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, Drew. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, yeah, the computer wasn't working. I'm on the phone now. My name's Drew Bagley, and I'm a lawyer, and I work for the cybersecurity company CrowdStrike as their privacy counsel, and also spend a lot of my time helping to run the Secure Domain Foundation, which is an international NGO dedicated to anti-abuse. And so I spend a lot of time working with registrars and registries, trying to get them to share information about known cyber threats and basically coordinate efforts on anti-abuse, so one person's bad customer won't be someone else's bad customer in terms of creating a phishing site and whatnot. And I've also spent a lot of time on research related to competition and privacy issues in a variety of realms, and previously worked in law enforcement for several years at the FBI, so have a lot of relationships in that world too, and am eager to help in any way I can as we undertake our research this next year.
Great, thank you very much. So let's go back to Gao, are you on the call? I understand you've been trying to deal with some technical issues. Gao, we can't hear you right now if you're speaking. Okay, well, we'll jump back to you in a moment. I understand Carlson's not on the call, and Wado is not on the call as well. As I'm, so we'll now move down to the two representatives of the on the review team. Under the affirmation of commitment, the CEO selects a representative and the GAC chair selects a representative. From Fadi's representative for staff is Jamie Headland. He's on the call. And then Lauren Kappen is the representative of the GAC chair, but unfortunately she was not able to make today's call. So Jamie, would you like to say hello to the group and give your back perspective?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Jamie Headland. I've been at ICANN for almost 6 years. Originally, I was a telecom regulatory attorney and spent 3 years in the mid-90s at the U.S. Federal Communications Commission. I've done policy work in Washington for wireless companies and internet companies. And at ICANN, I am both in a public policy role. I'm ICANN's registered lobbyist. But I'm also working for the Global Domains Division, on the particularly on the new GTLD program, and where issues the program intersect with public policy issues and GAC advice, that's my story.
Thank you, Jamie. And now we'll move to Gao, because I believe Gao's on now. Gao, we can't hear you if you're trying to speak. Okay. Well,
hello.
Oh, yes. Welcome. We can hear you now.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, I missed a bit of a good part of the meeting, the start of the meeting. I'm imagining from Jamie's last comment or talk that we're introducing ourselves.
Yes, please introduce yourself.
Oh, okay, so it's my turn now?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, my name is Hong Alelo Moseu, and I live and work in Botswana. Have been involved with IG internet governance activities since 2007, and I'm a business consultant with a professional training in marketing and communications, so customer service and consumer trust has been my thing, because you can't separate consumer trust from customer service, really, because business is all about relationships and it's about trust. So, yeah, that's a bit about me.
Great. Thank you very much. I want to see if there's anyone else on the call that wasn't able to participate. I understand that Wado has had difficulties getting on, and I just want to confirm no one else is on that hasn't been able to introduce themselves. Okay. Well, hearing no other voices, we'll move on to the next part of the agenda. I think it was really useful, and I appreciate everyone sharing their perspective. To give you a little bit of background on the staff support, as this is a fairly large initiative and it's going to require a lot of resources from ICANN to be able to deliver the data and the information that you need to do your analysis, I thought it'd be useful to introduce our team. As I mentioned, I'm Margie Milam. I'm Senior Director at ICANN in the Strategic Initiatives Department. Our department is responsible for managing the reviews under the Affirmation of Commitments, and we're really excited to work with you all on this particular project. On my team, I also have Charla Chambly, who's a project program manager in our department, as well as Pamela Smith, who's a coordinator in our department, and this is essentially the administrative support from our department. We also have Karen Lentz, the Director of Operations and Policy Research in the GDD division at ICANN, and I'll let Karen give a few words about her background and her team.
Thank you, Margie. Hello, everyone. So my team, Operations and Policy Research, is part of the Global Demands Division, and we
Karen, I think we lost you.
Okay. No,
you're back. You're back.
I'm still here. So sorry about that. So so my team works on the implementation of policies and has worked as part of the implementation of the new GTLD policy recommendations. Currently, we're managing several of the studies and reviews of the new GTLD program, and Aliza Agopian, who you'll meet in a minute, has led many of the studies and activities that are leading up to the to this review.
Lisa, do you want to say hello?
Oh, sure. Hi, this is Aliza Agopian. As Karen said, I have been working on a number of the research initiatives related to this review since I started at ICANN 2 years ago. This has actually been my primary project, including getting the consumer surveys and the economic studies off the ground and finally published late last year. So I'm really looking forward to working with all of you.
Thanks, Elisa. And I also forgot to mention that Karen Mulberry is also on the call, and she's in our department. Director of Strategic Initiatives. So you can see the ICANN team. I think we'll give Carlton a moment since he's just joined the call to say hello to the group and just give a little bit of your background, Carlton, so we can understand your perspective and interest in the group. Carlton.
Thank you.
Sorry, Carlton, we really couldn't hear a word you said. It did sound like Star Wars or something. Okay, well, I'm sorry about that. So we'll move on to the next part of the agenda. As I mentioned in my email, kicking off some of the issues, one of the important things that we need to determine today is how we would like to have this group be led. As I mentioned in my email, we could go with a chair, vice chair approach. We could go through co-chairs. There's flexibility here, and there's no set rules on how the review team would like to organize itself and be led. What I have on this slide that you can see, the guiding values, one of the things that we've done as staff working with the board as we've looked at some of the past review team work is that we're encouraging review teams to try to come up with perhaps clear and prioritized recommendations so that as we work through the process and get to the end result, which is the final report and then implementation, that it's very clear what the review team had in mind when the recommendations were made. Some of the experience from the last review teams, and I think probably Carlos can attest to this, having been served on a prior review team, is that there's often a disconnect between what the review team was looking for and what staff ultimately implemented. And so some of the thinking that has evolved since the early days of the reviews that were kicked off in the past is that we're trying to come up with a smarter framework for coming up with recommendations, both on the review team side as well as on the implementation side with staff. And so one of the things that the board has asked is that recommendations that come from the review team be prioritized and be clear. And so one of the approaches that we've been taking as staff for all of these efforts is to encourage review teams to work within the SMART framework, which means essentially, and I think many of you are familiar with this methodology, that the recommendations are specific. They're measurable, so we know exactly what is looked for and we can quantify it. We want to make sure that they are attainable so that the goals and the recommendations can actually be achieved. And we also would like to ensure that the recommendations are time-bound so that we know what the expectation is as to when the recommendations should be fully implemented. And as you can see from past reviews, I'll give an example from the Who Is Review team that was convened in 2012. Some of the recommendations that stem from them are still being implemented and are very much a long-term recommendation or program that may take many, many years to accomplish. And so as all of you are doing your work, we want to try to keep that in mind when you develop recommendations that say that we get an expectation from the review team as to how long it should take to get some of these recommendations completed. And then the other thing that we shared in the slides is what the roles and responsibilities are for both leaders of the group and members of the review team. Review teams are different, for those of you that have not participated in them before. They're much different than working groups because there's an expectation that the work takes probably a lot more effort and activity, and it's time-bound. We are hoping that the review team can accomplish its work within about a year time period, and there's a lot of work that has to happen between now and the final report, and some of those items are on the slide. I won't read them all to you, but I just want to share them with you so you have an idea as to what's involved. One of the things that Elisa shared with you all yesterday was a template for a terms of reference.
That is a document that we encourage the review team to pull together so that we all know what the review team is driving for and what the deliverables are and how the review team would like to conduct its work. Review teams, in order to develop the recommendations, need a lot of information. And so, as Elisa has shared with you on the email list over the last week, you can see that staff has compiled a lot of background information to help you in the analysis that needs to be conducted. The other thing that I think I'll point out from this list is that some of you are here as part of being a representative of a group. So if you were identified as a representative of a GNSO, for example, or ALAC, there is an expectation that you will be going back to your group to provide information and to share what is going on in the group and gather input from the communities that you represent. If you've been identified as an independent expert, then that would not apply to you. But certainly for those of you that have been identified as representatives of one of the supporting organizations or advisory groups, the hope is that you'll be communicating with your group and gathering input so that that information is considered as the review team does its work. The other thing I'd like to point out that's a little different from past reviews is that in order to ensure that the recommendations are implemented properly, we're looking for input not just up to the final report stage, but even afterwards as staff develops implementation plans that we continue dialogue with the review team members so that we ensure that the implementation is consistent with what the review team was looking for. And so ideally at the end, we would like to designate some review team members to actually consult with staff in the implementation discussions so that we develop implementation plans that continue to reflect the perspectives of the review team. And with that, I'll pause to see if anyone would like to make any comments about the two slides that I just shared. If you'd like to speak, you could raise your hand and we'll start a queue. Jonathan, you have some notes in the chat. Would you like to share your perspective?
Sure. I didn't want to be redundant. I guess I was going to say that I think this both these slides are very solid and represent a path that we should follow. I think we're probably going to find ourselves not only prioritizing the recommendations in terms of importance, but coming up with different time frames and also different execution strategies for them. Some of them that might require PDPs, for example, we might want to recommend sooner as opposed to waiting until the end of whatever our process is to create a big set of recommendations. There might be processes that we want to try to launch along the way that can be happening in tandem with the review on areas that are already sort of non-controversial to the group so that more can be happening at once and we aren't coming up against a huge time crunch at the end of the review process to begin the implementation process prior to any additional, new GTLDs being put in place, whether it's to be a round or an ongoing process. So I want to be supportive of what you have here, but on top of this actually have interim recommendations that launch parallel processes, something that occurs to me.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan. Any comments or reactions to Jonathan's statement? Okay. Well, hearing none, we'll move on to the next topic.
review team leadership. Again, as I mentioned, there's flexibility in how the review team will be led, and that's something that I think merits discussion right now so that we can get your thoughts on how you think the review team should be led. Obviously, you could do chairs and vice chairs. You could do co-chairs. I think Carlos shared on the list that in the past, ATRP 2, I believe, there was one chair and three vice chairs. Any thoughts from you on what you prefer and how we should go forward in trying to identify the leadership for the team? Jordan, would you like to speak?
Sure thing. Yeah, so I didn't follow the work of the previous ATRT that Carlos referred to, but I really liked the notion that he reflected of having a chair to drive scheduling versus some vice chairs to drive content. I personally think that would be most helpful with vice chairs focused on particular work tracks. Unfortunately, we have a little bit of a chicken and egg problem in that I don't think we've established those work tracks yet. So a particularly perhaps complicated structure to suggest right off the bat, but one that might be useful would be to start with a chair and a temporary vice chair intended to just ramp up and get to the point we better understand the work tracks. And then once that's done, phase out the vice chair and designate a number of specific vice chairs intended to drive the content on each of the work tracks while the chair drives the overall schedule.
Thank you, Jordan. Carlson's got some notes in the chat about how many work tracks would you be anticipating?
Yeah, I don't pretend to presuppose what the answer to that question is. I think one of the early things that we would need to figure out would be what we think the tracks of work. I personally think that there's going to be a number of distinct areas of investigation for this review team, but I just wouldn't want to presuppose what those would be.
Great, thank you. Jonathan?
Yes, these are murky waters, I guess, to some extent. I think that defining a role for a chair and vice chairs, as Jordan suggested, is probably the right way to go. It may be more than driving the schedule. It may also be helping to keep things in scope and driving the process as well. I guess I'd be interested in, as crazy as it sounds, listening to myself say it, I guess I'd be interested in playing that role as chair if there was interest in the group, because I think in this particular case, my history with this review is such that my interests are as much about the process as they are about any particular aspect of the substance. I'm very interested and excited and invested 5 years at this point in having a more rigorous process, and I'd be interested in helping to guide that process more so than necessarily being an advocate for a particular outcome in the recommendation. So I guess I throw my name in the hat as a potential chair with that type of responsibility in place.
Thank you, Jonathan. Would anyone else like to put their name in the hat, as you call it? Jonathan mentioned that he'd like to be considered as chair. Is there anyone else that might have interest in leading the group as well? Jordan?
Yeah, so sorry, this is Jordan again. I'm not going to volunteer, but I do think just as a point of process, it would be good to get consensus on what we think the role of the chair is before we decide who it's going to be, I think.
Sure, I think that's wise. And the other thing that I think is wise is to at least open a call for potential chairs once we identify what the role is on the list, and give others an opportunity to weigh in if they were unable to participate in today's call. So let's go with that topic first. What we think the role of the chair should be. Jonathan, is that still your hand from before, or did you have something else you'd like to add?
Sorry, old hand.
Okay. Jamie?
Sorry, I'm having trouble unmuting. This isn't so much about the role of the chair. This is about the role of the vice chair versus the possible roles of the heads of working groups. If it seems like the group would be able to get its work done more quickly if it divides the work into chunks and has leaders or rapporteurs from each of these. So instead of having multiple vice chairs playing specific roles, it might make sense instead to have multiple leaders of the different working groups. Obviously, we don't have those defined now. And certainly, if there are multiple vice chairs, they could play that role. But in terms of just getting work done, it would seem to me to make more sense to have people engaged in, you know, driving the work rather than, serving in administrative roles.
Thank you, Jamie. Anyone else like to weigh in on this? Oh, Carlos, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I see your hand, Carlos. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, I hope you can hear me well. I appreciate Jonathan's voluntary spirit, and he would make a great chair. There is a very positive aspect of Jonathan's background, of all these previous efforts, that he can guide us through all previous reports and meetings. There is only one thing I want to put on the table, Jonathan. I don't know if it's the right moment or not, there are many parallel things to this review theme that have started after the new round, like the discussion on the auction proceeds, the discussion about the lack of participation of underserved areas. The ICANN has started to make new indicators after your wonderful report. They are now working on a health index that is somehow related but not identical to the indicators. But the most important part that I want to put forward is that we should not forget that many areas of the world did not participate, not only in this call, but did not participate in the new GTLD round. And ICANN has started studies to promote or to develop markets and so on. And this is one issue that is very important to me, and I guess to other people from underserved areas. How are we going to deal with that? And I would hate if we said, no, we're just dealing with the new GTLD round and everything that happened afterwards, auctions, health index, Middle East market study, African market study, Latin American market study, we're not going to deal with. So I give you a conditional support as a chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. Carlton, your hand is in the queue. Carlton? We can't hear you. Carlton? I'm sorry. Perhaps you can put your comments in the chat since we can't hear you. Would anyone else like to weigh in on this? Perhaps you can type in your comments. Any other one in the queue that would like to speak to the topic of the role of the chair? So, as I can tell from the chat, I think we're, if I can summarize where I think we are, it sounds like at the moment everyone's interested in, or there's some consensus in having a chair that's both in charge of the agenda and the process, and then possibly breaking up, having either working group leads or vice chairs or other leadership roles based on workflow once we've worked in, developed a work plan and identified what subjects might be the right ones to focus on in different streams. Is that a fair summary of this discussion? Jonathan, would you like to share what you're typing in the chat?
Oh, sure. I was just sort of a straw man to get the conversation going. The possible definition for the responsibilities of the chair would be to manage the schedule, the terms of reference, and scope, and be a liaison to the to outside the group, whether it's board recommendations to GNSO and then other work groups that Carlos mentioned, for example. That sounds like a reasonable place to start the conversation about what the chair might be.
Thank you, Jonathan. For those of you that may not be familiar with Adobe Connect, as you can see in the participants, you can actually check if you agree. Carlos just did that a second ago. If you agree with Jonathan's suggestion, can you please mark a little green check? And that way we can get a sense for where the group is. Or you can do an X. I believe you can do an X if you don't agree.
And just to come in behind Megan's chat, she said that the terms of reference have to be agreed by all and not the sole responsibility of the chair. And that's exactly right, Megan. I think it's more about being the enforcer of them once they're established by the group.
Okay. So it looks like, from what I can tell, there is consensus for that, for your straw man, Jonathan. And so I think the best way to proceed now is to take that information and share it with the list. And see if anyone else would like to volunteer to be chair. And so we'll give a couple days on the list.
Are you going to do that, or are you asking me to do that? I'm sorry.
No, Jonathan, I'll do that. I'll send it out. A staff will do that. Assuming that there's no objection or other anyone else that would like to serve as chair, then we'll make the decision then and announce who the chair is. Gao, you have something you'd like to say? Gao, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. Okay, she put a check. So perhaps you could type in the chat if you have something else you'd like to say. Does that sound like a plan? I mean, I think that's probably the best way forward. Okay. Sounds good. So let me, so I think that's probably all we wanted to cover for the leadership discussion on this call. We'll now turn it over to Sharla to give you some background information on the review team itself. Jonathan, would you like to chair the rest of the call, or would you like us to continue on the agenda that we posted?
I think you guys should go ahead until we've chosen a chair, probably.
Okay. Well, I was thinking more of a temporary chair until, but that's fine. Well, if you don't mind, we'll go ahead with the rest of the agenda. As we have some background information we wanted to share with the group. And so Sharla Chambly on our team will walk you through some of the timeline and expectations. Sharla?
Hi, this is Sharla Chambly for the record. So what you see in the Adobe Connect room is a high-level timeline for the review. Obviously, we're in the first balloon there that says January through March 2016. This is the time that we've assembled the review team and kicked off the review with our first call here. Throughout the next couple months, we'll be publishing the results from several surveys, phase two of those surveys. And also in between, we'll be having some face-to-face meetings scheduled in LA and at some upcoming ICANN meetings. In October, we anticipate that the draft report will be published by the review team and then with the final publication scheduled for December. Any questions on the timeline? Okay. So the next slide, just briefly. Oh, Carlos, did you have a question?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yes, I want to raise the question right now, and we have not only those studies, but other studies, as I mentioned just before, the regional market studies, and you mentioned face-to-face meetings, and before you go into that, I mean, what are chances that we get to see face-to-face the people producing those studies, get a presentation from them from the first stage, and get a feeling what they are doing for the second stage? I mean, when you look at the terms of reference and requests for proposals, they look all fine. But based on past experience, like the Genius Review, once you you start reading what they have produced, it may be too late. So what are the chances that when we meet face-to-face, we get presentation directly from those consultants? That's the question. Thank you very much.
Margie, do you want to answer that, or
Elisa?
Hi, this is Elisa. Thanks for the question, Carlos. This is actually something we've anticipated with the consumers, the survey and our study vendors, who are Nielsen and Analysis Group. And we are planning on both of them providing briefings to the group on their findings and on their methodology. And in addition, we're just in the beginning planning phases for the phase two versions of those studies, and we do plan to have them speak with you as we're getting going there as well. So those are definitely in the works. I don't know whether they'll be at face-to-face meetings or whether we'll do those on calls. It kind of depends on the timing of our planning, but we do anticipate them speaking with the group.
Sharla, Stan has his hand up.
Okay, I don't see that. Stan, go ahead.
I take it the phase two economic study is being done by the analysis group. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
As you probably know, I have some, although I think the first study they produced had a lot of interesting stuff in it, I think there are some things that could make it a lot better. I hope the committee will have an opportunity to influence the way in which that study is conducted.
Hi, this is Aliza again. So I did share your note with analysis group and as well as my comments back on the data that we do have and that we don't have access to, but I do think that you will be talking to them before they launch the next study, and I think any comments or feedback this group has will definitely be taken into consideration and will certainly shape the next report.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Charlotte, if I could jump in for a moment, too. One of the things I forgot to mention on one of our prior slides, let me just go back for a moment, is the topic about budget. One of the things that we've done as staff is to try to identify specific budget requirements for the different review teams. And we will be sharing budget information with you over the next few weeks. As part of the budget, there are funds to do additional professional services, be it research or whatever the group decides it needs to do. So I just wanted to flag that as part of this discussion, that just because we've done all this metrics collection and studies, that there's still a possibility to do something further if there's a gap. Charlotte, back to you.
Okay, this is Charlotte for the record. Are there any other questions on the timeline before I move on? Okay. So just quickly, I just wanted to point out that we do have a page on the ICANN website if you want to look at some high-level detail or high-level information on the review team. You can go to ICANN.org, and then under resources, you'll see these three boxes. And over on the right arrow under AOC reviews, the fourth bullet down is competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. That link will take you to the actual webpage that will be posting draft documents from the review team, final report, any kind of RFP or anything that we post will be linked on there. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Aliza.
Hi, thank you so much. So there's been a lot of conversation in the chat about data gathering, and I agree that's, for me, the most important part of the work you'll be doing. So I would like to spend the next few minutes talking about that. I don't seem to have forwarding capabilities. Can someone advance the slide for me? Thank you. As I said in my introduction, I've been working on this review for 2 years now, so I'm really excited to actually get it started. One of my first projects was working with the IAG CCT, which Jonathan chaired, and that group was tasked with not coming up with metrics, but evaluating a group of 70 metrics that were suggested by a GNSO and ALAC working group for their feasibility and their utility in guiding this study. So that was about a year-long process of deciding on those metrics, and ultimately 66 of them were adopted by the board. I'm going to get to that in just a moment, but I wanted to come back to that point because that's a lot of the sort of preparatory work that staff has been doing for this review, and a lot of the decisions that were made with regard to those metrics really came back to the mandate that comes from the affirmation of commitments, which is what you see here. So we've been trying to focus all our work and making sure that the preparations that are done for this review really do draw from this notion that we're reviewing whether or not the introduction or expansion of GTLDs has promoted competition, trust, and choice, as well as the application evaluation process and the safeguards. So I think this is just an important point to keep in mind that this is really our starting point for this review. So moving forward, I'm going to get down a little bit further and talk about the terms of reference. But in preparation for actually doing the review and doing the data, we wanted to make sure that everyone on this team had a good sense of history and background of where the program came from, how it was developed and ultimately implemented, and then get into a little bit more about some of the reviews that are going on now. So we've come up with what is ultimately basically five briefing sessions that we're hoping to present to you, starting with your face-to-face meetings in Los Angeles next month, and then ending with a session at ICANN 55 in Marrakesh in March. And we've grouped them really in four topic areas. The last one is a discussion about the PDP process, which was a long and very involved process with the past chairs of the GNSO. So really the first four topics that we're going to focus on at the Los Angeles meetings will be about kind of program history and development, particularly the development of the applicant guidebook, because that was such an important part of this program. Another session on application processing and contracting, so how evaluation was conducted, any objection processes, that type of thing, what the applicants went through during that process, and then post-contracting, actual GTLD startup, implementing rights protection mechanisms, pre-delegation testing, and working with ICANN compliance staff. The last session will really focus on reviews of the new GTLD program, and there have been a number of different reviews that have been done. For those of you who've been at recent ICANN meetings, we've had a number of sessions detailing all of the different angles that we have been reviewing the program, both internally and externally. The Program Implementation Reviews Report was published very recently. There's been a GNSO discussion group to prepare for an upcoming PDP, which is going to be starting very soon. We have a study of the root stability or of the root system, the stability of the root system, which is underway now. Another one on DNS abuse, and all of these are producing data that we think are going to feed into and be very relevant to the discussions that you're going to be having. So we have a sort of I don't want to call it a syllabus, but a kind of an agenda here that we're planning to follow when you're in Los Angeles next month. And the background materials that I sent out to you in one of my early emails kind of follow the contours of this discussion, and a lot of the materials are grouped based on these discussions. So these are kind of the high-level topics that we thought would be most interesting to the group. If there are any topics I'm missing or if there's anything you didn't hear covered that you would like to hear more about, I'm most definitely open to them. We can talk about that now, or we can certainly discuss it on the list. I see some typing. I see Stan's hand up. Would you like to say something?
That must still be my hand up from before.
Okay. Jordan?
Thanks. So I'm going to say this acknowledging the fact that I lived through this process, and therefore these briefing sessions are probably a little bit less useful for me than for others. So if other people disagree with the statement I'm about to make, I will be glad to defer to people who will find these briefing sessions more useful. But I would certainly prefer to have as many of these sorts of briefings as possible outside of the context of the face-to-face meetings, ideally before them if we could arrange that. I think the in-person time that we're going to have is incredibly valuable, and it's mostly due to the interactivity that we have in that space where we're all together in a room. And using that for relatively one-way transmission of information and background material, I think is quite a poor use of that limited amount of time. So I would certainly encourage us to try to do these briefings outside of the context of face-to-face meetings, if at all possible.
Thank you, Jordan. I see Carlos, you have your hand up and a plus one in the chat as well.
Yes, I'm very interested in spending a lot of time
during the face-to-face meeting going over data, data sources, data studies, indexes, and numbers. And also I want to, I don't know if it's under other topics or number four, and this is a question for you, Elisa. Where do we put all these activities derived from the last round in terms of what went wrong or what is missing or what was not planned? And I already mentioned three areas. I mean, the regional studies, the auction proceeds, and a new set of index under the market health. I don't mind if somebody, if in the end we decide not to touch them, it's fine with me. I just want to know where they belong and when we will have a discussion over those parallel issues that happen afterwards and were not planned in the applicant's guidebook, so to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. I certainly think that the topics that you raised on the list, including the regional analyses and the marketplace health indicators, those would be good topics for discussion. Any other thoughts from the group?
Lisa, this is Margie. One of the things that I wanted to point out is these are not meant to be one-way conveyors of information. I believe in the past when we've had briefings like this in other review teams, it's been an opportunity to actually ask questions of the people that were involved in the program, and so it was meant to be interactive. Carlos, as a member of review teams, is that your recollection as well? Because you've lived through the types of briefings that we're talking about.
In the case of ATRT2, it was pretty difficult because as somebody, I think it was you mentioned before, we jumped immediately into the lack of progress in the follow-up of the recommendations. And this was the first constraint. And the second constraint is that our terms of reference were pretty much limited by the first review team. So let's say it was, and the result is obvious now that we have the cross-community accountability review. We see that we missed most of what is being discussed today. So it really, it's a question of the terms of reference. I don't know if I am answering your question with that, but you have to be very careful with the scoping part. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos.
Okay. I just wanted to add on to one point that Jordan made. I certainly appreciate that many of you are very well versed in a lot of the history here, and in fact, we're present for a lot of the history. There are others who are a bit newer, and so the other thought behind these sessions is, even though they may seem somewhat elementary, or not even elementary, but kind of a basic understanding, the idea was to really get you all to some level of a common understanding of what happened, and not just that you all agree with the outcomes, but that you have a base understanding of where other members in the group, you know, may have gaps in their knowledge or what their perspectives are on some issues. So as Margie was saying, this wasn't meant to be a sort of lecture series, but really a chance for some discussions about these topics as well. So thanks, Margie, for pointing that out. But I do think the point about, you know, using a valuable face-to-face time is a very valid one. I think one of the next things we need to do, and I do want to save the last 5 minutes of this call, is to decide on what our call schedule will be moving forward. So I think once we have a better sense of what our frequency is there and we set an agenda for those calls, maybe we can set some of these discussions to happen on the calls and others to happen when you are together in person, both here in LA and in Morocco. And I also should have mentioned when I was going through these briefing sessions, we were envisioning about a max of an hour on each topic. Some of them may be longer, some of them may be shorter. It depends on where the discussions take us.
And sorry, I'm trying to keep up with the chat at the same time here as I'm talking.
Elisa, I thought the colleague has his hand, colleague Khan has his hand up.
I'm sorry, colleague, please go ahead. Kali, can you hear us? We can't hear you. It seems you're on mute.
Hello?
Yes,
now you
can
hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, huh. Yes. Okay, yeah. Well, I have a question about the impact of this new GTA LD, what impact? Also about what do we mean by consumers and where do we put the end users, common netizens who use the internet, whether the new GTA LD has any impact on their interests? Because in my impression, my understanding is that no matter the registries, registrars, registrants, all, after all, is to serve the end users. And being from ALAC, I wonder whether we put that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. I only have a few minutes left, so I want to get through this a little bit quickly. I think you raised some good points that are discussions that I think need to be had with regard to the terms of reference. Unfortunately, we're running short on time, and I also want to allow time for scheduling. But one point I wanted to make on this call with regard to the terms of reference, I sent around the draft of the ATRT2 document that was used on that team, which I think is a helpful template for us. I think this will be a really important guiding document for this group, and I think may also help us to determine the work streams that some of you were mentioning in terms of dividing up the work in chunks, whatever way you may think that might be best or most useful for the team. So you all have a copy of the document that I sent around. We thought it might be useful to maybe have a smaller group working on this separately and then present it to the larger group. And, you know, staff is always here to help. We can certainly help put together a draft, put some language in there, and start circulating that to a small group. I wanted to get kind of take the temperature of the group on that. Would it be useful to draft a smaller group to work on this document and then have them report back perhaps on the next call on any progress? I wanted to hear what the group has to say about that. And some of the key elements of the terms of reference, as I have listed here, would be target completion and adoption dates, defining terms, obviously competition, trust, and choice. We've had some discussion about this on the list, and there is some definition that was adopted by the previous working groups. Obviously, you are welcome to tweak those as you want, and then we would get into some of the more meatier items, so the methodology, the tools we'll be using, how we'll be reaching consensus or coming up with decisions, and how you'll be engaging with the larger ICANN community. So I see some agreement here in the chat, and I see some volunteers, too. Drew has volunteered. I also received an email earlier from Wado saying that he's interested in volunteering. And Jonathan points out that part of this will be a scoping decision that will probably require broader consensus, and I absolutely agree. I think we'd have to discuss the larger document with the whole group. Jordan, we're happy to take you as a volunteer if you're interested. So Gao asks, how many people do we need? We have 17 members of the review team total, so if we have perhaps maybe four or five, if that sounds good. That might be a good small team to discuss with. So I see, Gao, are you interested in volunteering? I see Jonathan is as well. Carlos, yes, I think we can develop a draft in a cloud-based open document. Maybe a Google Doc would be appropriate. I think that would be a good idea. Okay. let me make sure I have the list of all of the volunteers before the chat gets away from me. So I saw Jordan, Jonathan, I had Wado from earlier. Carlton was volunteering as well. Are there any others? Carlos, were you volunteering as well? And please feel free to speak up. Okay, Carlos is not volunteering. That is a perfectly respectable option. And we see, I see David as well. Okay, well, that's at least five right there. If there are any others, please feel free to email me directly. And we only have a minute left, and I wanted to be sure to leave time to talk about the next call. Margie, did you want to take over?
Sure. So, as we circulated the Doodle poll, it looks like for the face-to-face meeting, the first choice is February 22nd to 23rd in Los Angeles with 12 votes, and the second choice was February 8th and 9th with 10 votes. And so the rest of them were unable to gather as much support. For all of these, we will have Adobe Connect and remote participation, so to the extent that others can't make all of the meetings, they can certainly join where it fits their schedule. Based on this, is there any objection to having the meeting set up February 22nd to 23rd? If you agree with February 22nd and 23rd, can you please put a little check by your name? That would probably be the better way to do this. David, you have a question?
Yeah, sorry about that. I put in the Doodle when we did this whether there's any possibility of the week before. I presume there wasn't, which is why that wasn't picked up, but it was just on the off chance, and I said in there it was just my problem. It's my daughter's birthday on the 21st, and we're going skiing on the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. So to disappear for for those 2 days is almost impossible for me, and I'm a little bit concerned even to try and be on the Adobe if I'm with her for that thing. So I just it wasn't just for me, but it was just more the point of whether that week before was a possibility. But I don't want to obviously undo things if we're 90% to choosing a date.
And I believe, David, there were other conflicts, like, for example, most of the staff in my department is at a retreat that week. So that's part of the problem is a lot of the staff support is not available during that week. And then I think the earlier part of the week there wasn't enough coverage, and I believe there may have been some holiday at that time as well. So, I don't know. Pamela, do you remember what else the whether there was anything else that came close?
Well, Margie, you hit the nail on the head. There is a holiday at the beginning of the week, and then it's the issue of the retreat is the main thing, and then I believe there's also a holiday on Monday, and so there was no way we could accommodate the timing. These were the best possible dates we could come up with for the largest number of people and not run into Marrakesh, because we certainly don't want your first face-to-face to be in Marrakesh. We'd rather you had meet with each other once before.
Okay. Thank you, Pamela.
You're welcome.
Yeah, with such a large group, David, sometimes it's hard to find a date that everyone can participate.
Pretty much impossible, I think, so no, fully understand.
So we'll do our best to keep you apprised. I think it looks like from the checks that everyone's on board with the 22nd to 23rd. So we'll go with that. Let's talk now about the future of telephone conferences. How frequently do we want to hold them, do we want to do them in a fixed time or rotate them because of the diversity of time zones that are reflected on the review team? So first let me ask, weekly, biweekly, multiple times per week, what is the preference? Carlos?
Yes, two comments. Before we have the face-to-face meeting, I would ask how many modules can we get presented in these calls? So if we have agenda before the first face-to-face meeting as often as necessary so that the people who are not so knowledgeable about the cards and so on can get up to speed. And the second one, I think it's very healthy to rotate time zones, but not more than two is my experience. Of course, we should rotate time zones. Thank you.
This is Aliza. I think we can do at least two of the briefing discussions before the 22nd of February, if not three.
Okay, so on the chat, it looks like there's some consensus for rotating time zones. What about weekly versus biweekly calls? Okay, so it looks like we're going to start with biweekly calls, at least from the list. It looks like making them 90 minutes. Is that, if you all agree with that, please put a check by your name. Right, and then ramping up later, with the possibility of ramping up later as we start breaking it out into different groups. So. Carlos, you suggest 30 minutes AOB. Would you like to address that point?
Yes, I would ask Aliza to suggest three calls for modules, but to make them interesting enough to dedicate only 1 hour to the module and leave some time for other business. If I might suggest that Aliza comes back to us with the next three calls for the three modules, but also allowing for other issues to be dealt with on the second hour. I don't know if that's clear. I can write an email if you want.
I think that makes sense. So in terms of the briefing sessions, we had planned one-hour briefings, but when I say 1 hour, I don't mean 1 hour of someone speaking. I'm thinking 15 to 20-minute presentations and leaving the rest of the time open for discussion. So, again, these are more discussion sessions. Does that address your point, Carlos?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, great. And I will work on the schedule. I have to confer with the colleagues who we were intending to have make the presentations and make sure they can make the date, so we'll send out some dates shortly for the next calls with agendas.
Thanks, Aliza. And then the other point I wanted to raise is that we've identified based on the Doodle poll that the all-day face-to-face meetings in Marrakesh would be on 9th and 10th March. So that's Wednesday and Thursday of the Marrakesh week.
Okay. So hearing, so basically, that's the plan. I'm sorry we went over time, but I think we made a lot of progress on this call. We will send a doodle poll out to schedule the next call so that we can identify the time that works for everyone. All right. And with that, I think we'll end the call. Thank you, everyone, for participating, and we look forward to working with you on this group.
Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.